Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks is engineering and producing this show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We made it to Friday, Tom. It is Friday, February the 20th, 2015. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We are live AM 1030 KVOI is the place, noon to one, and we live stream our show at kvoi.com and of course on my website buckmastershow.com. My site is also the place for all of our podcasts. You can listen to this program anytime, anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. And our newest supporter in the media is TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, United States Representative Martha McSally of the 2nd Congressional District in Arizona. Joining me in studio to question Congresswoman McSally is David Rukhausen, assistant editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you'd like to join the conversation, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. And we are pushing now toward 4,000 friends of the Buckmaster
All
Show.
Right.
Yeah, so we
you go,
there's
Bill.
Room. There's room for a few more. So if you'd like to join in, that would be great. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Good to see you live and in person. Thanks.
It's good to be back in Arizona always. I say the climate here is much better than D.C., and I'm not just talking about the weather.
There you go. And David Rukhausen, thank you for joining us, making your initial appearance here on the show.
Thanks for dealing with me since Dan can't be here.
Dan had to be called away to some other business. Dan Scheer, your boss, David, but we are glad to have you with us. Congresswoman, we are almost 60 days, I think it's 55
yeah.
days since the swearing in. How would you characterize your first couple of months, and is the job a little bit what you expected or different or what?
For the most part, it is what I expected. We've been in session for 6 straight weeks. This is our first district work week. So I've been back to D.C., on a Monday or Tuesday, and then back to Arizona Thursday and Friday. And so it's been about 55 days straight. I knew it was going to be certainly busy, and our race was called 43 days after everybody else, December 17th. So our first few weeks was also just, building the airplane while we're flying it, to use an analogy. So we had a lot to get going to set our offices up and communications and hiring people, but also jumping right into committee work on the House Armed Services Committee and the Homeland Security Committee, dealing with a number of different votes that were coming up. And so I tell people it's the most important and meaningful and frustrating job I've ever had in my life, but I'm honored to be there. And I certainly would rather be in the room when a lot of these conversations are going on, as dysfunctional as it is, than be outside the room and be seeing the implications of it on the news.
You were at the Pima County Supervisors meeting. There was a declaration about zero tolerance for human trafficking. Is that a big issue? Is it a big problem here in Southern Arizona?
It is. And I think the first step is awareness. A lot of people think human trafficking is something that happens in Asia or Africa. And even when they think about it in a border state, they think people being trafficked over the border from other countries. But it should be shocking for people to realize that the majority of people that are trafficked into the sex industry and forced labor are actually American kids, vulnerable youth, vulnerable adults, runaways, people in youth homes and other places that are snatched up by these predators and put into slavery. And it's happening right in our community. And so whenever you have people in vulnerable circumstances or maybe tough economic times is when you're going to be sort of ripe to be preyed upon. Mm-hmm. And because of the challenging economic circumstances we have here in Tucson, this is a target area. And so we passed 12 bills in the House a couple weeks ago at the federal level related to various elements of trying to stop human trafficking. I held a roundtable a couple weeks ago with members from City Council, Board of Supervisors, advisors, representatives to the state government, law enforcement at all levels, nonprofits. So it's a multifaceted approach, but we've got to work together to stop this, to tighten up the penalties for those who are preying on these people, to raise awareness so that we can see people who have been trafficked in a way that we can be identified, whether you're in law enforcement or you know, working with Child Protective Services or in the healthcare industry. You know the signs of someone who's being trafficked. You know how to intervene. And we also have victim services, nonprofit, faith-based, like Gospel Rescue Mission was there. We've got services for those if we're snatching them out of those circumstances.
So you that, really want to put this on the radar screen.
It really is. It's an opportunity for us to raise awareness, tighten the penalties, give the tools to law enforcement that they need, and also to those who are serving the victims. And this is something I intend to lead on. It's a nonpartisan issue, too.
Let's bring in David Ruckhausen, assistant editor of the Green Valley News. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, hi, Congresswoman. You recently held a couple public meetings in Douglas and Sierra Vista, which were closed to the media. One was with a faith-based group, and the other was with public officials in Douglas. And you took some criticism for that.
Well, I've been down to Douglas and in Cochise County every single weekend since I've been home, either on the border or meeting with ranchers or veterans, and a couple meetings, maybe the ones you're referring to. The mayor of Douglas, who's a Democrat, who I've got a great relationship with, had asked me to come to two meetings, some with business people in the community that want to talk about some of their challenges, and then an additional group of individuals involved with some faith-based initiatives. And we had a great dialogue to hear some of their concerns and their perspectives, and then we spoke to the media afterwards. And so those are really useful meetings for people to have, feel the safety that they can speak to me on things that are sometimes sensitive for them, and then be able to characterize that to the media afterwards. So I met with the leadership of the papers who cover that, and I think that was mischaracterized. I spent about an hour with them yesterday. I've certainly provided tremendous access. I mean, Bill, you can attest to that.
Yeah, you do.
As a public official, my positions
for me,
are certainly well known. But you know, sometimes constituents who want to talk about issues need to have some sort of privacy so that they can not feel like everything they're talking about is going to be characterized or mischaracterized in the media when they're talking about sensitive issues. So look forward to continuing to be transparent and accessible, and I have been in the past.
So you cleared the air with those people, you think, the editors of the
papers? We had almost an hour-long meeting to kind of discuss building a relationship, and I look forward to continuing to have that relationship. Look, it's a case-by-case basis. There's plenty of things that yesterday I toured the Apache Generating Station. We invited the media. Look, we put out, hopefully you saw a press release. We couldn't fit everything I'm doing this week, but let the media know where I'm going to be and when and ask them to come along. And oftentimes they don't take advantage of that. We'll put out statements and things afterwards. And, in this case, in working with the mayor, the feeling was it was appropriate, to have an honest dialogue, candid dialogue, where oftentimes, again, constituents feel like they want to be able to speak freely and not have that characterized, have that megaphone out to everybody. So it's a case-by-case basis, honestly. You can give some examples. Like when I'm meeting with ranchers, oftentimes they're wanting to give, specific perspectives on what they're dealing with the Border Patrol, but they have to deal with Border Patrol on a daily basis, so they don't necessarily want to have that all published. And so we look at everything on a case-by-case basis, which we will continue to do.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. And Jim Kelly, our friend Jim, a faithful listener to this program. Jim, how are you today?
I am very well, Bill. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's a pleasure to address Martha McSally as the Honorable Martha McSally. I have a quick question, Martha, regarding immigration. Is there any possible way that we are going to be able to get documented immigration that is cheaper and easier than illegal immigration?
Right.
So we can break the backs of the coyotes and get our people working again.
Thanks, Jim, and thanks for your nice comments there. It's a great question. We've got some challenges here, especially as a border community. And I'm always going to be someone who's looking to address the root causes and to solve the root causes instead of the symptoms. So we've got to secure our border because we have transnational criminal organizations that are trafficking drug mules, that are trafficking primarily drugs, but also people, and then going south, weapons and money, into our communities. And this is a public safety and a national security issue. But we also have a broken legal immigration system that incentivizes illegal activity. Now, I'm not condoning illegal activity, but if it takes you 20 years or if there's random quotas, you know, for you to be able to come here and work hard, coming through the turnstile, pay taxes, and, whether it's a guest worker program or a visa system, that makes sense. It doesn't take jobs away from Americans, but helps grow our economy. We need a fast, nimble, legal way to do that. So I am very strongly working with my colleagues and finding like-minded people that are willing to fix our broken legal immigration system, to modernize it so that we can focus our border security only on these transnational criminal organizations and incentivize legal immigration because we're a nation of immigrants. You're asking whether that has a chance of going through. I would say at this point, after a little over 50 days, I am concerned. I think the diverse viewpoints represented across across our nation and across our own conference on this, we have some work to do to convince others that this is the right way to go to address these issues. But I am committed to continuing to be a voice to solve this problem. We're frustrated. We focus a lot on illegal immigration and the Obama's executive amnesty and how he's overstepped his bounds, which he has. And this is only Congress's role to do. But from my perspective, our best way to respond to that is to actually do the job and to fix the system instead of just having temper tantrums about it.
All right, it's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our first break. We will be back with Congresswoman Martha McSally. It is our Friday Focus interview. But right now, please give your attention to the fine people who believe in the work we do here. Listen to their messages, and we'll be right back.
Part of the journey, I was looking at all the life.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0504 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. I like it, Tom. Today we're kind of featuring our bumper music. Friday we feature a different 60s, maybe early 70s group. Today it's America.
Do you like old music?
I do.
Martha McSally, Congresswoman, with us in studio. And David Rukhausen is the assistant editor of the Green Valley News. David, go ahead. You're up to the plate.
Yeah, something that's come up in Green Valley, where the demographic is obviously senior citizens. Deep in the Affordable Care Act, there is a provision that will raise the threshold for out-of-pocket deductions from 7.5% to 10% for those over 65. This could be a huge burden on senior citizens. Other than dumping Obamacare completely, yep. Is there a way that can be addressed before it's initiated in 2 years?
Absolutely. During the campaign, I came on very strongly publicly saying that I'm against that provision, and I'm working with my colleagues right now for a legislative fix to that. Because, again, you're right. A lot of people don't realize what that does to someone who's living on a fixed income, and they used to be able to deduct at the 7.5% threshold, and now it's at 10%. And so then you're not going to be able to deduct anything. So that's a pretty significant hit to someone who was expecting to be able to deduct that. So I think it is a fix that is going to be able to get some good bipartisan support to move forward. And the larger picture, of course, being that what we're seeing is, Obamacare has got about $1 trillion of taxes and mandates of things like this that people didn't realize, like, where is this bill coming from? And it's the medical device tax is providing some of those resources. And this provision is providing some of that resources, robbing Medicare of $716 billion is paying for some of it. And so that's why we need a better solution for bringing the cost of healthcare down and having it be affordable and available based on patient choice and transparency and competition that isn't on the backs of seniors like this provision or hurting our economy like some of the other provisions. So I am committed to making that change happen. And it could either be a narrow change that we just fix, or it could be part of a larger replacement package that's put forward. And those are the kind of discussions we're having right now.
Matthew has been waiting very patiently on the Buckmaster Show live line to speak with Congresswoman McSally. Go ahead, Matthew.
First, just want real quickly, congratulations, Congressman McSally, on your new role, and welcome to the larger issues of Southern Arizona, one of them being the Cherryvale Processing Center. As you may know, I'm a veteran. My dad's a veteran. We rely on the mail, especially for prescriptions from the VA. And also, George Khalil recently has taken on the mantle to raise the alarm about the loss of Cherryvale to Southern Arizona, how it'll affect the broader region.
Yep.
I was wondering if you had a chance to look at that issue, and look forward to hearing your thoughts on it. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Matthew. I appreciate it. And yeah, I met with local officials and others. And by the way, I get some of my prescriptions through the VA, and so I understand the impact that it's having there. While I was a candidate, and so now, you know, I'm jumping in with this plan for consolidation and shutting down, kind of being midstream and in its nearly final stages, but it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
no.
We have cities that are our size and other parts of the country that have like three or four processing facilities, while we're going to go down to none, and the impact that that has on veterans, on those getting like retirees as well, getting their mail order pharmacy, or small businesses, is something that must be measured. So I'm not on the committees that have jurisdiction over this, but I'm looking for other members to be able to join with to at least provide some oversight, ask some questions, perhaps get the Postal Service to answer some questions before they're able to institute this consolidation any further. There's a few legislative initiatives that are out there that I think probably aren't going anywhere, quite frankly, that are major overhauls to the Postal Service system. And I think what we don't want to do is try and move forward to some massive transformational issue with as opposed to focusing on some of these decisions that are impacting local communities like ours and trying to figure out how to stop them from happening or answer some questions as to their decision-making process. So I am engaged, I am informed on it, and to be continued.
Taking 3 to 5 days sometimes if you put a letter in the mail in Tucson, and to go just a block or two, it could take 3 to 5 days.
Right, exactly.
And it's really ridiculous. About the A-10, of course, you being a former A-10 pilot, one of the things you campaigned on was to try to have somebody back there in Washington that really knew what they were talking about when it comes to the A-10, and you're that person.
Exactly.
You know what you're talking about when
I
it comes
do.
To the A-10. So bottom line, where are we with this?
So bottom line is that we appropriate year to year. And this year, the president's budget came out a few weeks ago. The first step in the process is the president's budget delivered to Congress. And then Congress, we start going through our defense authorization bill and defense appropriation bill to show, like, okay, thanks, President Obama, but this is what we're directing you to do. So in the president's budget, he again foolishly directed to mothball 160 of the A-10 fleet, but with the intent to close them all down. There's about 300 left in the next few years, despite strong opposition from many in the last years, and realizing that that's going to be a fight. So the president's budget still wants to mothball them. That would close down for sure the squadron I commanded here, the 354th Fighter Squadron, that first tranche if he got his way. But they just deployed over to Europe, to be a deterrent action towards Putin invading all of his neighbors. We also have A-10s deployed against ISIS, and they're providing a critical role in not just close air support, but also forward air control and combat search and rescue, something that should be on people's minds with what we saw with the Jordanian pilot. We've got to be able to snatch up someone who has to eject as quickly as possible, and the A-10s are the only ones who lead the rescue mission commander effort for search and rescue missions. So this is a critical capability. So the president has already, indicated he wants to mothball it. I've already met with the chief of staff of the Air Force on this issue. We've had unclassified but closed door briefing with the Pentagon on the A-10, where I had some pretty strong words and perspectives to share with my colleagues, and working with Chairman Thornberry of the Armed Services Committee in the House, my chairman, and also Senator McCain, who's now the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and other like-minded people to make sure that this doesn't happen. This is not just about the economic impact it has to our community here, which is significant, but it's the best capability we have when men and women are on the ground under fire in harm's way to bring them home safely. And so I can speak to that firsthand, and I'm already doing that and educating my colleagues, and I'll be leading that fight in the House for sure.
Okay, David Rukhausen from Green Valley, the Green Valley News in Sarita-san. Do you have time, David, or do you have a quick question you'd like to work in here before we wrap it up with the Congresswoman?
Sure. In a primary in July, you gave a comment about the pressure that freshman congressmen often face to raise money, you know, to run for re-election. You said that if members are doing their job, re-election will basically take care of itself. Are you getting pressure to be on the phone with donors to try to raise money for your re-election?
I have spent, I would say, 99% of my waking hours, again, in 53 days straight. I've not taken a day off yet, back and forth to D.C. and Arizona with a complete primary focus on doing my job and doing it well. There is a reality that we've already got one person who says he's going to, run against me, and the DCCC has, come out with a list of one-term wonders with me on top of the list. So, another element of showing strength is to be able to fundraise by the quarter, which we do, and have people invest in your campaign, which I'm spending very little time doing. Nobody's pressuring me in any regard. My focus is doing a good job, reaching out to the 50% of the people who didn't vote for me, showing that I have strong constituent services, showing that I'm an independent voice, and I'm showing good representation. And that's the focus I said I would have, and that's the focus I'm having.
Yeah, and for the record, it's Bruce Wheeler has established an exploratory committee, Democrat Bruce Wheeler, former Tucson City Councilman and state lawmaker, state representative from the Tucson area. Congresswoman, thank you for sitting down for half an hour during your lunch break here, and I know it has been pretty much nonstop for you. So you said 55 days pretty much without a break.
It's been, it's an honor and a privilege to be in this job, and we've got some serious issues that we're facing as a nation, as a community, in a very divided election too. I think it was important for me to go move out quickly to try and heal some wounds and reach out to individuals and pockets of the community that that didn't support me, to show that I'm their representative too. You only get that one chance to make a first impression. So we hit it hard. We're going to sustain in a battle rhythm that can last for the long haul. But I am an endurance athlete, and I know how to work hard. And it is a privilege and an honor to be in this role. We've got a lot of important things to address, and I'm not going to rest while we're needing to address them.
And you have your constituent services staff up to
par, we do. We have offices open in Tucson and Sierra Vista. And if anyone has an issue with a federal agency, they need our help, they can certainly reach out to our offices and ask for us to intervene on their behalf, whether it's with the VA or Social Security or some other federal agency that they've just come to a roadblock. So please reach out to our office. We have the caseworkers on board, and we're ready to help you.
Martha McSally, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
David Rukhausen will stick around, and Mari Herreras, the editor of the Tucson Weekly, joins us for our Friday roundtable. That's coming up after the mid-break on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Used to laugh, used to cry, used to bow our heads down.
Hey, honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's seven lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show, as we hear the background of bumper music today from a group I like very much, The America. America, the name of the group. And this one is called Sister, what, Tom? Sister Brown Eyes? Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh,
Sister Golden Hair. That's right, of course. Welcome to our Friday roundtable. I am Bill Buckmaster. David Rukhausen, assistant editor of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun, sticks around from our interview with Congresswoman McSally, and we're joined by the editor of the Tucson Weekly, Mari Herreras. Mari, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Bill?
Thank you for asking. Doing pretty good today.
Yeah.
Friday is, I think, one of my favorite days. Friday and Saturday, how about that? The Common Core looks like, David, it's going to be going down. Is that kind of the feeling you're getting?
I can't say with any certainty. I have not seen the scales tip one way or the other to say definitively. Of course, you know, people have been fighting against Common Core since it first came about in South Dakota, where I just came from. My paper there, we were dealing with it almost nearly every legislative session in the state legislature. And so I'm not sure if the people who hate it are going to get their way or if the people who support it are going to get their way.
Did they shoot it down in South Dakota?
Oh, no. It's still alive and kicking despite various attempts.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Common Core, it just seems like it's divided. The Republican Party seems to be very divided about it.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing I find interesting about the whole Common Core discussion and really any testing discussion is that it's not just a right issue, or it's not just a right group that's against Common Core. There are quite a few folks you meet out there that are on the left, too, that are concerned about Common Core and how it's instilled in the states. And I think just people who want to see testing change in general.
Well, it'd be very interesting if the legislature moves to do away with Common Core. The governor who has, during the election, campaigned in favor of Common Core. So you wonder if there might be a possible veto there.
It's entirely possible. I hate to keep dipping to this well, but in South Dakota, we have an extremely Republican governor, and he, during his two state addresses that I was able to cover, he came out in favor of Common Core, and he tried to explain it to also a very heavily Republican legislature. And so there could be a divide there.
By the way, how is it, David, after 2 years in the capital of South Dakota, which looks like it would be pronounced Pierre, but if you're from South Dakota, David was telling me it's Pierre.
It is, Pierre. Yeah. It's Pierre, how you distinguish. It's how you distinguish outsiders from insiders.
Well, it must be great being in Tucson in the winter rather than South Dakota.
Oh yes,
it's a weird feeling not freezing.
Yeah, and having to plug the car, keep the battery going. The
Fortunately, I never had to do that, even on those nights when it was negative 30.
Just saying that is terrible.
Mari, payday lending may be resurfacing.
Maybe resurfacing, yeah. With a different kind of not what we've seen before, obviously. What are they called? Flex loans? The little research I did a couple of days ago talked about how other states similar to Arizona, which had made it illegal previously, have these similar loan structures have come back. I'm not at the Weekly at the time. I know we weren't necessarily completely 100% against the payday loans to begin with. And this time around, it'll be interesting to see who comes out and concern regarding this flex loan structure.
Any feedback in Green Valley about this?
None that I've heard so far. However, there's still a large sense in the community, I think across the state, that these are kind of loans that, that prey on the poorer folk.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the people who support it say these types of loans are not offered through a traditional bank, and so this is their only recourse to go. But there's still that wide sense from when, Arizona voters shot down payday loans that these will prey on poor people.
The governor, I was going to talk a little bit local here about the Pima County supervisors, Mr. Huckleberry's plan to basically anyone that applied for a job at the county that was a smoker, the original plan from Mr. Huckleberry, Mari, was that these people would not be allowed to work for Pima County. So what we got on Tuesday is kind of a hybrid or watered down Huckleberry plan.
True, but I sure enjoyed the meeting. I thought it was great.
why is that?
Well, I think it's always great when you have Elias and Valadez talking about smelling each other. And that's always wonderful.
Because Richard is a smoker.
Well, yeah. Is he still a smoker? Because I know he's quit a few times.
Well, I think he still occasionally smokes. I could be wrong.
See, the way I always looked at it was that, I look at my perspective on Richard Elias. He's one of the harder working of the supervisors. Mm-hmm. And so you knew where to find him at certain times outside of the county building there.
Oh, having a cigarette
having a smoke
outside.
And being able to touch base with him was kind of nice, yeah. But he's right. I mean, I think he was right. You know, is this going to turn into smoking police, you know, sniffing folks out?
And everyone having to do their own DNA test. What possible diseases may you get in the future before you could be hired by Pima County? But anyway, there was a lot of kind of blowback, if you will, on this, David, and it was not destined to fly, the original proposal.
No, it was not. And in fact, our supervisor, Ray Carroll, he was the dissenting vote on the surcharge that did pass, because he said he's all for people quitting smoking for the obvious health benefits and the dough you save.
Right.
But he's like, I don't like the idea that, you know, employees could rat out other employees and you might get someone whopped with a surcharge for reasons dealing exclusively with, you know, interoffice politics.
Right, right. Yeah, there's that occasional person, you're at an office party or something, and you have a cigarette, and maybe you're not normally a smoker. I mean, you know, I have some experience in this area, and I think that happens on occasion. But anytime I think you have that kind of thing, I think it needs to be suspect, and I was glad to see Carol do that.
Mari Herreras is with us. She is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and David Ruckhausen is the assistant editor of the Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. David, in your area, there's a huge project that's moving forward. It's called Saharita Farms, and it would really change the look of Green Valley, Saharita. What's the latest on that project?
Okay, when we say moving forward, we have to qualify, because this is a 50-year plan.
Oh, okay.
But what it is, of course, Green Valley is full of pecan groves at the moment. You know, Dick and Nan Walden and the Farmer Investment Corporation, they have these pecan groves. And the idea is, in 50 years, to slowly phase those out as those orchards reach the end of their useful lives. And the plan is for, off the top of my head, I believe it's 5,600 acres to turn into 19,000 homes, plus parks, plus schools, possibly a library.
Be a whole planned community then, huh?
Exactly. And it's moving forward in that a more comprehensive, in-depth view of this plan, which is, let me see here, I have the note here, it's 185 pages. Mm. And the Sarita Town Council, in a study session on Monday, are going to sit down and look at this. A plan was presented earlier, but this is coming back. There's been presentations, there's been revisions, it's updated, it's more in-depth. So the town council is really going to get down to looking at this. But like I said, we have to be careful with moving forward, because it is over the lifespan of 50 years.
But it is so far moving forward.
Yes.
Is there opposition to it?
Not that I've heard so far. Mm. It did come out of, the Planning and Zoning Commission on a split vote, 4-3. Those three dissenting votes said, we want more time to study and review it first before we'll give our okay.
Well, that's a huge development when you talk about 19,000 homes in that area. We haven't talked at all about this new primary proposal to move the primary in Arizona. This is HB 2138, is now going to the full House. Mari, this would perhaps move the primary from right before Labor Day, the end of August, to as early as May.
Well, weren't they thinking of May, but then discussion went to August.
To like early August, 3 weeks earlier.
With the idea that it's before school and possibly
May
better time.
May seems really early.
But ultimately, it was also this conflict of lobbyist fundraising. I mean, wasn't that really ultimately the reason why they changed it from May to August? So let's get real. And I still don't know how – I'm still – not sure how I feel about it. I mean, we were always looking at it from a coverage perspective, obviously, and election season's one of our favorite times. So bring it on, you know?
The only possible downside, David, I'd like to hear your opinion on it, from what I see, by moving it even deeper back into the summer months, things get real quiet around here in summer. And the campaigning, the real heat of the campaigning then would be heat. Yeah, it'd be hot. July, we're
like
talking.
Like to see some door-to-door activity.
door-to-door. What do you think of this, David?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting idea. Mainly, one of the reasons I read that people supporting this is because it would give some space between what could potentially be a very brutal primary and then moving into a general election. Because if you're in, say, September and you just finished a primary, you have to turn around into the general. And so all these people you spent your last few months beating up on have to suddenly support the party. And so it was thought of as like a cool down time for that. So it's not an instant turnaround. You know, other than that, I'm not sure I have any strong opinions on it or I've heard anything from our readers about this.
Well, I just heard from one of our listeners here on the Buckmaster site at the Buckmaster.com site. Our friend Noah, who lives down in your area, David, says wants to correct us. He says there is opposition to the FICO project that we were just discussing. Mm-hmm. And he says the project, it is designed in the Santa Cruz floodplain, and no one has decided who is responsible for paying to attempt to control the river. So,
well, yeah, I'm sure the Army Corps of Engineers will be chiming in on that as well, right? And we've—I mean, this is notorious. I mean, you know, what developer hasn't tried to get a good development in a nice wash? You know, it's not—it's the history of our of development in this area.
Another, speaking of developments, and the Rosemont project, the new owners of Rosemont, the Hud Bay people out of Toronto. They have flown below the radar screen. Augusta, when they were in control of the project, all over the place with PR. Hud Bay, very, very quiet, just not wanting to, I guess, you know, cause any ripples in this deal. Is that kind of how you see it? Or
I do. I'm trying to contact Hud Bay for a related story, not dealing with the mine specifically.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's been... They haven't been like, no, we don't want to talk with you. It's just been a little hard. And they do seem to be watching their step very carefully.
Well, you know, when Augusta first came in, mm-hmm. you know, they also had some Tucson handlers that I thought was kind of interesting. Now
quite
I can't remember
few.
His name, yeah. who ran for mayor.
Well, I think Rick Grinnell is
one of
active.
Those.
Rick still may be involved. I'm not quite sure whether he is. Still involved as one of the, call him a lobbyist or whatever for
right.
the mine.
But the attitude at that point was let's get money out there into the community and mm-hmm. show our face and mm-hmm. put our name out there and show that we're here to support.
Hud Bay, they've had this now for, I don't know, it's almost a year, I think, and it's, again, under the radar screen. So something we'll keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know what the plan is as far as PR. I guess the plan is as quiet as possible.
Well, yeah, that way the Save the Santa Ritas, you know, will there's no one to attack, I guess, if you're quiet.
All right. Mari, thank you very much. Mari Herreras, how has the first couple of months gone for you at the Weekly?
It's gone great, Bill. We're doing well, and things are always getting better every issue.
All right. And David Rukhausen, thank you, David, for your premier appearance here on the show. I think you did a great job.
Thanks for having me.
Someone who has gaining more and more print experience coming from South Dakota, but this was your first time on the radio. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
All right. 12:51 on the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to hear from Mr. Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch right after this.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0504 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash. Plus, Dr. Mark Sykes joins us. He's head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Buckmaster each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world live. Of course, that music signals the weekend. It's time to party down here on the Buckmaster Show as we get ready for the weekend, Weekend Watch, with award-winning publicist and Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What a great place to go for, believe it or not, some fabulous restaurants. New York Times says, a road trip destination among those willing to drive for a good meal. You can find out about all the things to do and places to stay by visiting their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn and Pinos Altos Cabins and Silver City KOA. Again, it's southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell. He is always ready to drive for a good meal. How are you, Matt?
I am thirsty, and I am so ready for this weekend.
If you are thirsty, that would be a beautiful segue into a happy hour.
Yeah, you know, it's another great Friday afternoon. It calls for leaving the office just a little early today. We'll all say that Bill said it was all right.
Sure.
And Wilco gets my nod for happy hour. Wilco has an abundance of thoughtful dishes and companion cocktails to jumpstart the weekend. And I love their artisan cheese and cured meats menu with nearly 20 different selections. And one of the cocktails that stands out is called the Gee Whiz, made with 7-year apple brandy, local cider, and clarified butter. Now, Bill, anytime you put brandy and butter in a cocktail, how can I say no? Happy Hour starts today at 3 o'clock at Wilco, right across from the U of A main gate.
We'll test your cholesterol on Monday after that. There's always a wine, a vino festival, it seems like, somewhere, some weekend here in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, if you prefer a glass of wine over a cocktail made with butter, then head out to the Off the Vine Wine Festival tomorrow from noon to 5 at the historic Steam Pump Ranch up in Oro Valley. Now, about 20 wineries from all across Arizona are going to be showcasing their stuff, including producers from the Verde Valley, Elgin, Sonoyta, even up in Scottsdale. And $20 gets you access to the event, which includes a tasting glass and 7 tasting tickets. A beautiful day is on tap tomorrow, Bill, and this wine festival sounds like the right way to enjoy it.
It's rodeo week. That means, steak or ribs or something like that.
Seriously, I've got my boots and hat on all weekend as I make my way around town to enjoy the launch of another delicious rodeo season. And when I think rodeo, I think ribs, but not the classic Memphis or Kansas City style. We're talking Western ribs. And my rib pick this rodeo season, Bill, is El Corral on River, just east of Campbell. Now, these babies are slow-cooked until they fall off the bone and kissed with a barbecue sauce that makes me want to smack my lips. I say giddy up to El Corral this weekend, roll up your sleeves, and do what I do. Go for the full rack. You'll be glad you did.
Okay. What's in the column this week and inside?
Yeah, speaking of rodeo, there's a mesquite grilled steak in town that tips the scales at about 2 pounds, big enough to be called the big cowboy. And I get the story behind this carnivore cut from the guy who says that he's going to serve about 1,000 of these this month alone. You can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. Can't wait.
All right, get the boots on, ready to go. Matt Russell, thank you, sir.
Cheers, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, all of the good guys and ladies here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we and me, Bill Buckmaster, wish you a wonderful and safe weekend and remind you that we've got all sorts of expert talk beginning with Phil Cedar tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Tom Fairbanks will be engineering that show as well. Hope you have a great weekend.